Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
If it's Saturday, we must be talking real money. I'm Don McDonald, Tom Cock over there, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're talking money live on the radio and then later on a podcast, and you can get answers to those nagging financial questions at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. It is really easy. And it is absolutely free, and we promise to give you straight answers to those important questions.
And they get a copy of your book, right?
Ones that I'm furiously signing.
How's the right arm holding up?
It's, man, I get cramped up at this age.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting arthritic hand from signing books.
Yeah, it's a great book. Yeah. Really, really,
Financial
really
Financial physics.
Well-written. Yeah. So
how money and investing
No
really
obligation,
work.
You just get the book. You can read it. You can use it to prop up your terminal, whatever it is.
Let's just start with that premise. All the stuff we offer you is truly free, and there's no obligation and no sales pitches. We just don't believe in that.
Although.
We don't need it.
Yeah, well, we kind of do.
No, we don't.
I made a misstatement earlier today. We need to raise our fees rather substantially, turns out.
Oh,
because
really?
We had, well, we
what,
had a client
what did you
event.
Do?
We had a client event
do?
Today. Well, I messed up. We had a client event today, which is great because I love seeing everybody.
Okay. This is going to be the saddest part of the show ever.
Horrible news.
Raise our fees. This is really sad.
Well, and I was there and I was talking about the fact that you're coming out this summer to see a lot of our clients and hang out, and we have a 10th year celebration. Hard to believe, 10 years. Of Vestry, but we do, and I was talking about the fact that your form of transportation was going to be a Gulfstream.
Gulfstream,
yeah,
I think you may have misspoken.
I did.
Isn't a Gulfstream a very expensive aircraft?
I believe it is. Yeah. So
I'd love it to be in a Gulfstream.
I
but
said if I couldn't remember. I asked one of our crack advisors.
You couldn't remember what I was.
No, I asked, and they said Gulfstream. Mm. I was like, so I said Gulfstream to everybody.
Airstream.
And yeah, and so, which apparently the Gulfstream is like $20 million more than the Airstream.
Yes, about $20 million.
Yeah,
well,
so,
yeah, particularly this Airstream, which I bought used for $19,000.
Plus, I said, if Don's coming out here in a Gulfstream, I'm going to upgrade from my Honda Pilot. I just think I mean, come on, that's not right.
Or just get a pilot for your pilot.
I think so. Somebody driving
you
around.
At least have a pilot.
So to pay for the Gulfstream, I don't know what percentage increase we're going to have to do with our fees, but it's going to have to be dramatic.
Pretty dramatic.
Yeah, so,
we're going to have to go with like those 10% fees that some of those bad funds had.
That one mutual fund that kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah,
charging
11%.
No, they were in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah, it kept going up.
At any rate, so congratulations on that. So you will be here very quickly. I think it's like a 2-hour trip from Florida or something with a Gulfstream.
In the Gulfstream,
yeah,
but
different deal.
In the Airstream, it's more like several weeks.
I know it is. And you've been promoting. I love this. You have been promoting that if you're in wherever, in the middle of nowhere, anywhere,
and you can gather vaguely between Florida and Seattle, Washington,
and you can gather three or more people.
I'll come hang out. We'll talk money.
I'm
serious. We'll hang out
up.
And talk money. Come over to the KOA campground. We'll hang out around the picnic table and talk money. Bring your own
apparel.
Dogs or burgers.
Yeah,
I'm not paying for the dogs or burgers. I'll just give you free chatting. But we can have a little barbecue out there. I've got my little Weber kettle that's going in.
Make sure you clean it out before you get on the road.
So. I figure I probably will dump the hot coals somewhere.
I don't want to know.
So no, I've got a 1989. Airstream that I'm in the process of fixing up, 1989, I call it Talking Real Money
Express
Across America.
Oh, Across America.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so no, you're not getting a Gulfstream.
I've even designed a new logo for
it. Never had a ride on a Gulfstream. Sorry.
I had a walk on a Gulfstream, a G5 once.
Wow.
I had a friend who was a pilot for the Saudi royal family.
Of course he was. Yeah.
And he used to be an Air Force pilot, and they hired him to be a pilot for the Saudi royal family. And one time he brought them to Disney World in Florida, and they were at the Orlando Executive Airport. And Tom says, hey, you want to come see a G5? And I went, Heck yeah.
So you have friends named Tom who are successful then.
Exactly. He's the Honda pilot of the G5.
Ah, okay, exactly. So
you know, he's the low budget guy in the whole picture. But they had a stewardess on board. This place, there was a bed
them
in the back.
Flight attendants now? I could be
not
wrong.
The about
Saudis.
That. Not the Saudis.
Not the Saudis. Yeah, let's be careful with that. At any rate, you are not getting a Gulfstream. You're crossing the country in your Airstream. We will transition this program to talk about money in mere moments.
Well, there was money involved.
Yeah,
$20 million for a more realistic
money.
$20 million for a plane or $19 million for a silver trailer?
$19 million for a silver trailer?
$19,000. Oh, my gosh.
You're going crazy here.
Oh, it's been a rough day. 855-935-TALK, the number. Give us a call.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Do you know what your investment risk tolerance is? Take our free no-obligation risk quiz at TalkingRealMoney.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
I just thought of this. Instead of live streaming Talking Real Money, I'll be air streaming Talking Real Money.
Yeah, there's
money.
A lot of streams going on here. You'll be crossing streams.
Yeah. Stream of consciousness all the way.
Yeah, a lot of. Yeah, wow. A lot going on.
Anyway, you know what I'm going to do next week? I decided this is what I'm going to do. On Talking Real Money, I am going to put up a map of my route.
You know, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Why?
I think there might be a roadblock by the time you get to about Iowa, be my guess. They'd close you off and send you back.
I don't think that's a good idea. I know people in Iowa.
All right.
I just thought so that the folks can say, oh, look, he's going to be in my neck of the woods.
Can we put it on our phones so we can watch you driving or something?
My three people get together at the KOA in... I just actually booked the KOA in Bismarck, North Dakota.
No.
I did.
You don't have to go that far north, do you?
Well, we are... Yeah, all pretty right. much. To get to
so.
Seattle? Yeah. Seattle's kind of north.
I'm aware of our geography,
Next, it's right next door to Canada. You don't get a lot more north.
Okay, well, yeah.
That's what that country is over there.
I can see Canada from my house, as you
all
know.
All right, so. Before we get going, the number here, by the way, 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. Give us a call. Can we talk about four-letter words
please,
on the show?
Please. I'll ask. Is that okay?
Yeah,
she says fine, all whatever. Right. She's not going to get fired.
There are two really important words, four-letter words.
Yeah.
That
I'm expecting
you need
George Carlin to jump in here in a minute.
Yeah, four-letter words that you need to really know when it comes to investing. There's two of them. One we're going to talk about today.
And my mind went to a different one.
One of them is an F word.
I'm sorry.
Fees.
Yeah. Okay.
Fees.
Right.
Fees.
Okay.
That's an
that's
F word.
That's not the one mine went to,
fees.
But okay, yeah.
Okay. No, I didn't. Okay. Don't even go wherever you went.
I'm not trying to stop.
Because I've known you way too long
there.
And you scare me.
I know, it's already there. Go ahead.
The word of the day.
Yeah. Okay.
The password
is
risk.
Oh, okay.
Risk.
All right.
Risk is something that is horribly misunderstood. So we're going to have the underlying theme
it's
of today's show.
It's not a very good word, actually.
No, it's people hate it.
Well, it's not. I think to most people, they don't understand really when it comes to invest. I think a risk, I think a total loss. That's what I think.
When they're done with these 2 hours, they're going to know risk.
Yeah, I think they will.
All right. Good. All right. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
855-935-TALK is the number. I got a great risk story coming up for you in just a minute. Oh, my gosh. Talk about taking ridiculous risk.
And kind of getting paid for it and then not getting paid for it.
Yeah. Tom, next? Who's next? Tim?
Mike?
You told me he was next. I don't know. It's not on the screen. Oh, there it is.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Mike, welcome to Talking Real Money. Hi, Mike. Welcome to Talking Real Money. They didn't put him on hold. Oh, we have
We're
a new screener today?
Waving at our screener, Kevin, in there today, and he's
new screener. Is this his first time?
No, he's done this before.
Well, then how come he didn't put him on hold?
I don't know. Kelly's going to go help him figure it out.
Really?
So, yeah.
Anyway,
go ahead.
You mean do the risk thing?
Well, yeah, I think we should.
This is a great story. This story just appeared this morning in the New York Times. I had never heard about this. Now, this happened in September of 2018 in a little office in Stockholm called the NASDAQ clearing. Well, apparently, there is a guy in Norway named Einar Aas, A-A-S.
Yes.
Einar Aas is... Einar Aas.
Come on
That's
now.
A three-letter word.
Yeah, keep going.
He's the richest... He was the richest guy in Norway.
For a time.
Right. Yeah. Now, Mr. Aas, or Aas...
Just call him Aas.
Mr. Aas lived in a little fishing village in Norway, and what he did to make all his money was he traded electric futures contracts.
Put a charge into the market, did he?
Apparently. You know, electric companies will hedge their future energy prices by selling these options, and yep. He was buying up these options, and he was making hundreds of millions of dollars per trade.
He found an inefficiency in the market and was capitalizing
and was exploiting it to the tune of almost $1 billion. He even got a seat on what is called NASDAQ clearing. These are these little clearing centers where they clear trades for major banks.
Yeah.
He got a seat with all these major European banks on this center. They actually gave an individual a seat. So he became part of this group and he could make even bigger trades. Well, he made a trade last year that was so big and went so badly wrong that he almost took down European banking, possibly even global banking.
What?
He ran NASDAQ clearing totally out of capital, the capital that backs up all these trades if they go bad. He didn't have enough money to cover it. It totally wiped him out.
He went from being the richest
to being bankrupt.
Wow.
On this one trade, it was so big. The banks in Europe had to, out of pocket, put in tens of millions of euros each into this pool to cover these trades because it totally wiped them out of money. They finally decided that individuals couldn't have seats on these exchanges anymore. It would only be banks. That was a really dumb thing. But what it shows is this concept of risk. We get caught up in somebody. We love the story of the Mr. Aas who made himself nearly a billionaire playing the market.
Yep,
he was playing the market.
That he was.
And finally it caught up with him and his bet, literally bet, went bad because of the weather.
The weather took him down?
The weather
and
took him down.
And almost took the banks down too?
It was overly rainy and his contract was expired worthless. All this money. And that he'd leveraged himself to the hilt to buy it, and it was all because there was more rain, so that Norsk Hydro had more electricity than they knew what to do with, and
his
it killed
bet
his
was wrong.
It killed his bet was wrong.
And so, what
that
is he
is
doing now? Did he go back to
risk.
Fishing?
I don't. You know, he wouldn't comment for the article, but I read another piece in the Swedish press that said he had reached an agreement with all of these banks to liquidate everything he owned to pay them back.
Which probably still won't cover it.
No, it won't cover it, but it'll help. And he's now, he lived in this palatial estate on the coast in this city that he had bought all the property around it. As a matter of fact, he was the biggest taxpayer in this tiny city. They had their school budget now is cut because he's broke.
Wow. This is in today's New York Times?
Today's New York Times.
That's worth
fascinating
reading.
Piece.
Yeah.
Very long, involved piece
about
cross-border financial stuff. And,
yeah, so that, I mean, we can pretty much all agree that that's a large amount of risk.
Betting on futures contracts?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But when we come back, we'll talk about the real type of risk you should consider taking.
Right. We're going to start with the extreme.
Yeah,
you know, this is the kind of risk when you do online trading and stuff like that. You know, it's the crazy nutso risk that you shouldn't be taking. We want to talk about the realities of risk, though, throughout the show, and we want to talk about your level of risk in your portfolio. Give us a call.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Just about everything you need to know about money can be found at our website, talkingrealmoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
And speaking of risk, it's like boating season now in Seattle. Do you have your dinghy out?
I don't have my dinghy, but I do own a boat, as you know. 1 week every year, I own a boat.
Oh, no, they call that renting in America.
Oh, okay. Well,
I know maybe where you come from, that is owning boat. But in America,
it's enough
for me. Yeah, we rent boat for 1 week.
Don't make me tell the Don McDonald boating story again.
Off the inner tube.
Actually, we'd have to bring somebody else from the office. They tell it better than I do. So the gurgling sound, the whole thing.
You guys sit around telling embarrassing stories about me.
Well,
I'm not going back to Lake Chelan this year.
Okay.
The heck with you.
Well, then we'll have to find somebody else to throw in the water.
To dump in the lake. 855-935-TALK is our phone number. It's Risk Day on Talking Real Money, and it's also Talk to You Day, as it is every day on Talking Real Money. And, Mike, we do have you now. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike.
Hi. Yeah, I'm Mike from Puyallup.
Thank you for calling us.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I have a 401k question. I have a 401k through work. I'm 64. 2 years ago, I had everything invested in total 100% stocks. And I kind of thought I needed to probably start backing off a little bit. And about that time, they came out with, I have Vanguard at work, and they came out with the, what I thought was like the robo-advisor with financial engines.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
So I thought, well, they probably know a little bit more than I, and I knew that I needed to, like, get into more probably bond exposure. And so I think I did a risk quiz with them kind of thing. I also did the one that you guys have online. I think I came out at about a 60. But I was kind of concerned that it really swung a little too far to the bonds, because right now I'm at, like, I think it's 67% or 61% bonds, 27% stock. And then the other thing that I don't ever hear you guys talk about is retirement saving trusts. They put me in like 12 or 13% of that.
Well, one, I got to tell you, on topic.
Yeah,
are you on
really,
topic?
This is not a planted call, by the way. We don't know Mike.
No.
Don't think we know him.
First time caller. I've been wanting to call for months, and I've been listening to podcasts since last summer, and I heard financial engines mentioned one time, but I never really heard, you know, anything about them. So I was just, I kind of wanted to make a call, and like, was that kind of a dumb move on my part? Should I just kept managing myself and switched?
Well, what rate of return do you need on your money?
Well, it'd be nice to get, you know, between 5% and 8% or so.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a couple of things. Here was my first thought. One, if they have you at 61% fixed income.
Well, the trust is bonds too, I believe.
Right, but he said his total. Is your total mix 61% bonds and 39% equities?
No, he had 27% equities.
Yeah, 61.3 bonds, 27.3 stock, and 11.4 short term reserves.
Yeah, which is just a short term bond fund. Yeah, I mean that's just the same thing. So.
Wow, to me that is like hyper conservative.
Yeah.
That just feels. How old are you?
64.
Oh, I have it written down right here. There you are.
One to two more years. And I've got about $350,000 in the account.
You got a 60 on our risk quiz, which tells me that you should probably be around 50% stock.
At least. Yeah. Did they tell you how they arrived at this very conservative portfolio?
Well, I know there was some risk management thing that I took when I first set it up, and then it just, from there on, it just was like, sell off equities, buy these, and they've got me in Vanguard Total Bond Market and Vanguard Total International Bond.
I
don't have any issues with the products. What I'm having a little issue with, and I can hear it in your voice that you're having a similar issue with it, is the allocation. And it strikes me as strange, unless they came up with a totally different risk score for you, risk tolerance score, it strikes me that one of two things is going on. Either they got something from you that made them think you were extra conservative, or there's a little bit of market timing going on there. But either way, I think you should be a little bit more aggressive. And I don't know if you're getting really a lot for the extra money you're paying them. It doesn't sound like it. Thanks for the call, Mike.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
It may not be the sexiest website in the world, but it's your one-stop shop for real money information, talkingrealmoney.com.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
855-935-8255. That's our number to talk about your financial issues. And you'll get a free copy of my book, Financial Physics. And your calls do not have to be on topic. I want to make that clear. They don't have to be about risk, although risk is involved in almost everything you do with money and it ends up being sort of an underlying theme along the way. Now, before the break, we were talking with Mike about his account that he had with just Vanguard, and then he went with Financial Engines, which is now Edelman Financial Engines, as they merged with Rick Edelman's firm to make a behemoth firm, I mean, a massive investment advisory firm. And I assume that you're paying a fee to Financial Engines for their advice.
Yes, you are.
Now, I went to Edelman Financial Engines' new Form ADV Part 2 brochure, and here's what it says about ERISA plans, which are qualified retirement plans. It says,
and just to stop you there for a minute, this is like a company sponsored plan.
Company
sponsored
plan.
Versus if you just went to these folks as a regular consumer. There's a difference.
Correct.
There. Okay.
Here, the stated direct quote from their ADV: fees for investment advisory services provided to retirement and pension and other ERISA plans will not exceed the fees referenced above for IRA and taxable accounts and may be lower.
By the way, did you read this last week? I think it's FINRA that wants to get rid of the mays from the ADV.
Oh, that would be great.
Because what does that mean? What
is May?
May. I mean, that is such a ridiculous thing to say. Come on. Whatever the fee is, say what the fee is.
What they're saying is that it won't be any higher than this fee. Are you ready for this fee?
I forget what it is.
Financial Engines used to be inexpensive.
Is it one and a half?
Now that they've merged, 1.5 is where their fees start.
Right, yeah.
Start at 1.5.
It's kind of
spending. And the lowest they go is 0.9.
What?
That is the lowest fee they will ever charge, it says.
Unless you say May in the meeting.
Unless they say May. It breaks at it's up to $250,000. It's 1.5.
Yeah.
Then it's 1.3 on the next 250, and then it's 1.1 on the next 250, and then it's 1 on the next 250. So on a million, it's about 1.25,
which is a little on the expensive side. Not outrageous.
And
we've seen that. But
and once you cross 1.25 million, then it's 0.9 flat. On everything, on every dollar.
Which, again, is a little on the higher side. But, okay.
It says there are instances where a fee might be lower than the percentages listed you do some special things for
them.
So
we really don't know what
fees,
he is
paying fees.
Yeah, no question. But, I mean, the question still going back to Mike, and I know you poo-pooed this a little bit, but I look at the money this way. I know you didn't like my question, but what rate of return do you need on the money? In other words, how much risk, how much volatility are you willing to handle? Because if you only need to make 5%, maybe they said, hey, you could be in bonds.
He said 5 to 8. And anybody who says mostly in bonds for a 5 to 8 is irresponsible, because 12% returns you cannot expect, on equities. If you're 100% in equities, even though they've happened in the past.
No, I wouldn't expect
that. It would
that.
Be irresponsible for any advisor anywhere, including Dave Ramsey, who's not an advisor, to say you can get 12% on your money by investing in stocks.
Okay, then I'll hold it to you. Then in a 60-40, what rate of return do you expect moving forward?
It's a total. I would be just guessing.
Okay, what's your
guess?
Okay.
6?
I think that's reasonable, considering the fact that the bond part is paying a little over 2 right now.
Yeah. I just don't see how it could be much better than that.
So to buy all that, so just to go back to complete the loop with Mike, I honestly think that it'd be in a portfolio, if you're not even retired,
Yeah.
At 64, to be in a portfolio that is only one-third in stocks, it's kind of outrageous, really.
I agree. Unless you're talking with a very conservative investor.
That's a really a portfolio for someone who's kind of old.
Or scared.
Yeah, who can't take any volatility. Nervous. And that's a portfolio my mother was in prior to her passing when she was 85.
This is one of the big points of our risk discussion, the word volatility. And that's what we want to talk about out of the break. We need you to rethink risk a little bit. You need to start. Yes, you can think risk if you're buying a futures contract. That's okay. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I believe in helping everybody become a better investor. That's why we offer lots of free knowledge at TalkingRealMoney.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Okay, today we're talking about R-I-S-K. It's a four-letter word, risk. But it's not really what you should be worried. You should only be worried about R-I-S-K if you're doing R-I-S-K-Y things.
Yeah, and it would,
like
right.
buying a stock.
Yeah, and
or a
see
futures
this.
Contract.
What I've seen lately is because we've been in this 10-year bull market or close to it, and people have made, 5-7% a year, blah, 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 whatever it is, right? And then they wake up and go, but if I had done that, if I bought that stock, what about a marijuana stock? Or what about Bitcoin? Or what about something that's, I would have made a lot more money. They get kind of greedy and then they say, and then they could get sold into something. Or they decide to start picking stocks. That's
or,
risky.
Or, had you look back at the guy we talked about earlier, the futures contract guy, you would have said, I could be a multi-millionaire by trading futures contracts. Well, it worked for him.
There you go.
Until it didn't. Remember that Bitcoin thing? People made, they bought it for like $10 and it became $20,000?
That's right.
Wow, that worked out really well for you, $5,700.
Okay.
Which, by the way, this past week it was up about 5%.
I think I did read
one week.
I think I saw the headlines about that. It's back.
1 week, it's back.
God's sakes.
Uh-huh. But when you're investing in the entire global economy, people talk about, they say, well, investing in the stock market is too risky right now.
Right.
Because it's high.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Wait. You're buying the economy of the planet. Is the economy of the planet going to become worth less over the next few years and stay there? Really? You honestly think that? Then you're somebody who listens to Art Bell or listened to Art Bell late at night, aren't you?
Now, don't pick on Art. He's been gone for several years.
I know. You know that, but he lived in a cave in Nevada.
I think it was a trailer, actually.
With a foil hat on his head.
That he did. He was talking about risk averse.
Maybe it was an Airstream.
Probably was.
I'll be in my aluminum trailer.
One of those guys.
Better than an aluminum hat.
He would not have trusted the Gulfstream, that's for sure. So.
No. 855-935-8255. Give us a call. We'll talk about your financial issues as we're going to do with Larry right now. Hi, Larry. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to ask you, Don, I've been hearing conversations about these major companies that are buying back their stock. Is there any indication that comes out of these big companies like Amazon, for example, buying back their own stock at certain times versus other times?
Well, Amazon, by the way, Amazon has not bought back any of their stock. They have not. Apple, on the other hand, though, has been buying up their stock like mad.
What does that mean?
They want to eliminate the number of shares that are in the float that are out there for people to buy and sell.
And what that does, as a matter of fact, just last week after Apple announced I can't remember the exact amount. I think it was it was a multi-billion dollar buyback. And they announced, this was a brilliant little trick on Tim Cook's part. They announced disappointing earnings and disappointing revenue.
But
at the same time, they bought back their stock and the stock price went up.
Way up. And why do companies do that? Let's talk about that. Primarily, by the way, it's a balance sheet issue.
Okay.
It just makes it just sort of cleans up, it makes things look better.
Two.
Number two.
It reduces the dividend payment that they make dramatically.
Right. So you have fewer people to pay that dividend to.
For them.
Yeah, no, it is all about that.
It's good for the share. It's good for the remaining shareholders too, because it reduces the number of shares outstanding. And stocks are a supply and demand product. If you reduce the supply and the demand remains constant, one thing must happen: the price must go up.
Okay. I see.
But
okay,
I think what you're asking is, should I buy stock? What I get the sense is, should I buy, you know, shares of companies that are buying back? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I kind of thought so. And the answer is yes.
Oh.
Well, you shouldn't be buying individual. Okay, but I'm saying yes as part of a diversified portfolio. Don's going crazy. We do not recommend you buy, nor do we use for our clients, individual equities, because they take on a ton of risk.
You have to be careful, because somebody could have just tuned out right after you said yes, and they're going to go, I'm buying Apple, click.
Don't drive off the road or anything. Buy it as part of a diversified portfolio. It should not be eliminated due to that factor. I'll put it that way.
Now,
is that better?
Just for the other side of the argument, there is an argument made that economically it is bad for the country.
Well,
have companies buying back their stock, when instead, for example, Apple could have taken that tens of billions of dollars and put it into R&D on the new Apple car or something, instead of just buying back shares.
Well,
buying back shares is sort of a safe, easy thing to do.
And the other question that I think is bigger in some ways is the recently fewer number of companies that are traded publicly.
That is a huge issue.
That's a bigger issue.
It's actually reducing the amount of investable assets for the public, for institutions and the public.
Does that answer your question, Larry?
Yeah, it sure does. I'm glad for a thorough explanation of that. I wondered what was going on and why. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome,
Larry.
They're sitting around a lot of money, and they want to, you know, as I say, sort of clean things up.
It really is the easiest thing. And Apple, they have so much money sitting around. Literally, they have money piled up in big piles.
I'm gonna run by there later today.
Over in Tim Cook's basement.
He's stacking the bills.
He's stacking the bills up in the basement. Okay, I didn't mean literally. I meant fakely.
I think they did fix up the one problem though about having all the money offshore, right? Because they cleaned that up with the tax.
They did. They had a tax break bringing it back.
Yeah, right. So they don't have all the money sitting
holiday.
In Ireland or wherever it always was.
It was most of it was in Ireland.
Yeah, green or something. I don't know what I'm just asking.
And what they were doing is that they had so much of it, they were sewing it into clothes for St. Patrick's Day for the wearing of the green.
Yeah. I'll take my hat, not the clothes.
They're not, you know, do they? I don't think they even really celebrate St. Patrick's Day in Ireland. That's an American thing. From what I've read, so
I think you're
way past that.
I think you're right.
Do we have another holiday coming up? Oh, we do.
Mother's Day, a week from tomorrow. Oh, come on now.
My mom's not listening. What a fakey holiday.
Oh, I'm gonna let him say that one.
And so I hate Father's Day too.
You're not gonna do anything for your wife on Mother's Day.
She made me do something. Yeah, she said, you got to get me this for Mother's Day. I don't remember what it was, but it was something. So I always say, honey, you're not my mother.
That never flown at my house, I'll tell you that much. Not for a minute.
I've been a talk show. A talk show host longer than you.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, I'm more.
You want to try squeeze another call in or go to the top of the hour? Up to you.
Oh, got to go to the top of the hour. Okay. We only have 1 minute.
Okay. All right.
But we can talk more about risk, which I think is important.
Well, this is the question. And again, risk, I just don't like the word. I like volatility, because that's really at the end of what you should be willing to take.
Based on what we suggest people do, volatility is the appropriate word. But for far too many people, they think, they rightly should think about the possibility of losing everything when they buy individual stocks like Apple, when they
make bets on various markets. Yeah.
When they try to say, well, the market feels a little frothy right now. I don't think I'll get in. I think the risks are a bit too high. I'll wait this one out.
Yeah. No,
That's actually taking risk, not avoiding risk.
Indeed, it is.
Because most of the time, stocks go up, folks. They do. They go up more than they go down. And that's pretty much financial physics in a nutshell. They got to go up more than they go down, because if they go down more than they go up, this is just common sense. What happens if the stocks of the entire planet go down more than they go up? World bankruptcy.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Download the advisor interview form and find out if your advisor is a fiduciary at talkingrealmoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Our job is to help you understand money, investing, and retirement. Get it right so that it'll work for you. And we do that with our show you're listening to and with our classes. And next Saturday, very special brunch ed next Saturday morning in Bellevue, where I'll be talking about how to build a retirement portfolio, how to create retirement income, how to get the most from Social Security. Next Saturday morning, 9 a.m. in Bellevue. It's a special brunch ed, and you can register now by going to TalkingRealMoney.com. That is TalkingRealMoney.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately, consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestory, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. Are we done now?